So this is Ali Williams, and I'm in a field with Sean Donohoe.
Hello.
At Glastonbury Festival, and it's the 24th of June.
It's a bit more than that, I think.
About 2:30. So Sean, would you like to tell us how you got involved with No Fit State Circus?
I think I got involved through Tom Critchley about, you put me right, but maybe 15 years ago, doing Treasure Island, which he was going to direct for you and then backed out of. So we did it with Peter Lilly, I think.
Treasure Island?
Yeah.
No, Psy Circus was Peter Lilly, so...
Okay, Treasure Island was our...
Jamie Garvin, was
Val
it?
Val Baker. No, not Val Baker. Bristol.
Who did it?
Oh, I was working with her of late on a... She lives opposite the farm pub in Bristol. It's not
I
very
can't
useful
remember.
For you.
I was criticising Richie for not remembering directing.
Double barrel name.
Lucy Gora Barnes.
That's it.
Okay.
Lucy Gora Barnes, and I think we did quite a good job because we moved into the field and it pissed down all week. But we did something at the end of it, and it was quite an intense...
And it was the year that we didn't get our Arts Council funding, so we thought that we were going to have a budget.
More?
And it turned out that I think you had like 250 quid to do the design, didn't
to
you?
To do the whole show or something. No, I think it was 500 quid to do everything, but that was everything, with everybody, including nets and rigging and barrels and paint and yada yada.
Yeah.
It was good though.
It was the cheap... It was really putting the show together on the cheap.
In the wet, in the field. Miles from anywhere, as I seem to remember.
It was...
The farm you had out towards...
Farm in Pencoed, yeah.
So
that was what Treasure Island was, 1997.
Mm-hmm.
So that is actually nearly 20 years ago, Sean.
Okay.
And
but that would be the beginning of it all.
Yeah, so the next project we did in 97 was the warehouse show, The Prophecy.
Prophecy came before Psy Circus, did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what was your involvement with Prophecy?
Oh, make it all look quite extraordinary for still no money, probably. And work with Tom and 20, 30 other random artists that he kind of pulled in to scatter around the place. And Orit, who's a bit fussy as well, knows what she wants. But I think we all had great fun in the warehouse building stuff. Tim got a bit grumpy. I think he does that though.
Prophecy was the warehouse that was down in...
We had the judge and we had...
In Splott, in...
Not spread, it was Tredegar.
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 No, is it Tredegar?
Yeah, it was Tredegar Estate.
Where's Willows High School? What's that?
Tremorpha.
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 Yeah, in the warehouse in Tremorpha.
Yeah. And that's when Sarah and, I'm not sure Reed, but Sarah and Zoe turned up and were hanging around outside around the bonfire trying to get in or trying to blag their way in. And I can always remember Sarah and Zoe being part of the circus. I didn't know, no kind of consciousness of that being the first time you see them. They've just always been there. But yeah, that was 20 years ago.
So,
so of course they have.
So I remember we had like great big screens that had...
We had lots of stretchy fabric.
Words from prophets written on... You dyed everything purple, didn't you?
Oh, and then Lee did a wonderful job of doing some... big 8-metre banners that flew up into the sky and created a maze. When people arrived, they walked through a maze of alchemical signs and prophetic moments. So the whole space was closed down at the beginning.
Can you remember any of the community groups that were involved?
You had the Hells Angels.
I remember auditioning that Hells Angel. I've already told that story where he, remember him driving his scorpion style bike into the stage when he was like...
Or it was fussy about not wanting it to be so smelly.
Yeah. He let go of his clutch. He was like, do you want to see me burn rubber? And he got his bike burning rubber and
ramps.
Then let go of the clutch and drove into the stage and put a hole in his petrol tank. And me and Orit looked at each other and went, I think he hasn't got the job. Who's going to tell him? Because... We were looking for Hells Angels to ride up to be the four horses of the apocalypse.
We were, yeah. Yeah, and there was Ian's dance group. I can't remember what they called. They were chapter based at that point, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and those battle reenactors.
The battle reenactors who wore furry stuff and stood outside around the brazier. They sort of were involved, but sort of not quite involved.
We couldn't figure out how to put them in, so we just let them have the warehouse for the interval, and they just beat the shit out of each other for 20 minutes mm-hmm. in between, didn't they?
Della made a huge oracle on the wall that had projection of a judge on it and other stuff. Gaz, and we had that.
I'm also with
you,
Gaz Smith.
Hello, Gaz Smith here.
And
he was also involved in doing something in that show.
Yeah, well, I worked with Della on
the
oracle.
Huge steel oracle thing. And
which
then
like
we
a
had
giant
the.
Eye in the
so
sky.
You did some of the welding, didn't you?
Yeah, the
and Andy
work.
Davis was helping with it
That's
as
right,
well,
yeah,
wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah.
Andy Davis was brilliant on putting cliff faces
together.
Did the together.
Metalwork and Della did the scream.
Yeah.
And then we had that huge face in the corner, the big white puffy face, which, do you remember, its mouth opened and then we just blew toilet tissue or something out of really fast. We had big, huge wind machines, hugely ridiculous wind machines to blow tissues
that
out of a mouth.
That face had a morphing video on it,
oh,
didn't
it did,
it? So
yeah,
it was
really
going through all the different cultures and the faces changed from
really early,
low-end
kind of animation as well.
Yeah.
It did, it morphed through. Yeah.
So in that show was probably the first time, well, no, we'd used video before in Altageddon, but that we used live video links, so
yeah,
things people were talking in side rooms and being projected onto big screens in the
yeah.
and interacting live with the performers,
as was the kind of magician character who had his bowl of water with a visual in the bottom of it. Was there a visual in the
yeah,
bottom
of that?
Yeah,
that was Frank Rosler Green playing Nostradamus.
Uh-huh.
And I've still got the star chart that he used to predict
you
his
have
prophecies.
It's on your wall. Isn't that was it? Another nice piece of leanness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after that we did together, we've done a lot together, haven't we? We did...
A lot of large-scale impromptu kind of moments where you have to solve problems very quickly. Yeah, big, nice warehouses to disguise as other things.
Because you're also involved in Now Here.
Which was the next warehouse project, which was lovely. That was more playful. We got to build silly things.
Well, we had to build, weren't we in a hospital or something?
We were in a hospital and you walked in and you came straight into a, however big that warehouse was, a corridor, white corridor, with you in a white coat and a clip chart, as I remember, checking people into casualty.
I went to the solicitors the other day to talk about making a will. And the solicitor said to me, "Oh, are you from No Fit State? I went to see Prophecy when I was 14, and not Prophecy, Now Here. Was it Now 14. Here or Now Nowhere?" He said.
Yeah.
And he said, "It totally freaked me out." He said it was the scariest show I'd ever seen.
Really? Really? I don't know, how was that scary? I suppose it was all about time running out, wasn't it? Which it didn't. It
yeah,
was all about time running out.
It was like...
In the moment, living the day.
Carpe diem was the theme for
which
that
was the first
show,
time
it?
We met Barnes and Howie doing their three plates of feasting with fire and water and air or something, creating these really silly, huge sculptures for them to carry on to the dinner table for the last feast.
And somebody
on
made
stilts.
A huge beating heart, didn't they?
And
was
I jumped up. I jumped up and down behind it each night to make it work. One of those ultimate behind the scenes. Go! I can't remember who actually made it, but it was. I think it was a huge steel armature again with lots of red fluff on top. While Pete was walking over the tightrope.
Yeah, we had that was quite big. We had about 200 community participants in that show.
And Jake from Colorado, Nevada.
Connecticut. I met him when I was working in America. Yeah.
Mad scientist.
That was the first time we met Duncan.
First time we met Duncan indeed. And Lynn was still flying Cloud Swing. with a scary ability.
Yeah.
I think Annabelle was in the show, was she?
Yeah, I think.
Quite a lot Shana, of new.
That's when Barnes and Shana
got and
together.
Barnes got together. Oh. Thought I stood a chance for a minute or two, but. and Pebs sung like a rock star.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
In corsets and that. Silly headdresses. Yeah.
So that was 98, and then we didn't do anything for a little while because we were raising the money to build the tent, the silver tent. And then we came back to do in 2002. Because we did do stuff, but it was like smaller scale stuff while we were fundraising. I went to Arts Management College, and for my business plan, I worked with Gaz, who's here as well, and Sean on Cy Circus. And we managed to, from the business plan I wrote at school, get a grant from Nesta. Well, tell us about it, Gaz, because...
Yeah, it wasn't actually Nesta, it was actually UK National Science Year forthcoming the following year, and they were asking for applications for scientific engagement activities to travel around the country or to go off in different parts of the country. They're looking for all sorts of ideas, so we applied. I had shortly previously done a master's in science communication, so I was quite up on all the things you needed to do to sort of to write an application form for these things, and Aldi and I worked together and we were successful. How much was it, Aldi? 75 grand?
Yeah, I think
something like that.
I think it enabled us to subsidise the cost of the tour to make it quite cheap for venues, so it was a show that went out in the blue tent, but it was much cheaper for people to buy because of that funding that we had. And also we actually had money, so we brought Sean back in as a designer for that, and you made, what did you make, Gaz? Tell us about what the project was, the vision for the project.
The vision for the project was quite amazing, really, with hindsight, because it just seemed logical at the time, but when I think back, it was actually quite a challenge, because we wanted to have a really good circus show, obviously that was the main hook of the thing, but we also wanted to have interactive exhibits dotted around the tent for when people came into the tent they could interact with before the show started and again in the interval.
I think so. At that point we'd had our seating bank nicked out of a lorry somewhere between 1997 and 2002, and found ourselves without a tent, and thought, well, maybe we'll transfer some of the promenade style performance into a show inside the small tent so people can wander around and there'll be exhibits and things for them to do, so it'll be more participatory and hands-on as well as having a show. And Sean, you designed quite a lot of the things that
looking back on it, it seems like we worked quite closely together, because there were kind of specific exhibits that were tricks or educational moments or things to see which you'd put in different rooms within the space. So we had little tents, didn't we?
We did.
Little kind of tented circus, medieval circus tents that were all varying sizes depending on what they had in. And I think one spun, because they were striped, so you'd spin one from the middle and it would give you a vortex of stripes.
Yeah, which when you stopped spinning, you'd still see the pattern when it stopped spinning, because your eyes would adjust to the...
So optical illusions and basic kind of physics moments?
Yeah,
we had a hall of mirrors as well,
I remember that.
Yeah, and it was very carnival. It was kind of, even walking into the tent, it was still very carnival looking, very old.
The world we were trying to create was sort of faded Victorian sideshow, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. With a bit of a Peter Quirk in the middle of it, as I remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a good little team.
And we tried hard to make it so that we weren't, so we were demonstrating scientific stuff, physics, through the circus, but without necessarily in the show explaining it. So it wasn't a show about the science, but the program that everybody could have for free when they came in. Because that was one of the things that the money funded, wasn't it? Being able to give the resource.
Do the information.
Yeah, yeah.
It was full of information about how the physics of the circus worked and how the tight wire walker could get across with...
Yeah, with some lovely Picasso Griffith cartoons.
And, it was really well integrated in the end, wasn't it? The world and the information. Yeah. It wasn't messagey. It wasn't on message all the time. It was a lot more subtle.
Mm.
In terms of an educational tool.
Yeah, it really was. And because of the nature of the show, it engaged at all levels. And I have some really beautiful memories of, for example, when we were in Edmonton in London, people coming out of the tent, this bloke, and I think he was sort of Middle Eastern, and he was just crying, and he just said, "I haven't seen circus for so long," and it was just such lovely feedback. And we actually evaluated it quite stringently. The booklet as well had a sort of a rip-out bit where you could answer questions about what you thought about the show. And the feedback, particularly from schools parties, was absolutely brilliant. And special needs as well.
Yeah, and it was a project we've been wanting to do again ever since, but never found the time or the funding to do it, so...
Yeah. And the people that engaged with the show were largely people that did not have a sort of scientific engagement background. We hit all the targets that we wanted to, which was exactly those people.